This podcast is brought to you by the Baton Rouge Area Foundation, your community foundation, which is focused on one simple goal: to help philanthropists pursue their causes for bettering the lives of people in Louisiana. Welcome to another episode of The Pod. I'm your host, Chris Meyer, and today I'm excited to welcome in my friend Jennifer Armand to discuss another community foundation in Louisiana, the Bayou Community Foundation. The Bayou Community Foundation serves Lafourche, Terrebonne, and Grand Isle in southeast Louisiana, among other communities. Keep listening to learn more about the work that Jennifer leads in representing the Bayou Community Foundation and how it's focused on both hurricane recovery and promoting philanthropy in the region. Jennifer, welcome to the pod.
Oh, thank you, Chris. I'm delighted to be here with you today.
Well, it's great to see you and great to see you in Baton Rouge. Tell our listeners a little bit about the Bayou Community Foundation.
Yes. As you mentioned, Bayou Community Foundation serves what we consider the most unique and special coastal communities in Louisiana and really throughout the country: Lafourche, Terrebonne, and Grand Isle. As you may know, our special area feeds and fuels this nation. Mm-hmm. And while we are sometimes in the shadow of the larger metropolitan areas, like right here in Baton Rouge and New Orleans, our people have a special culture and a special lifestyle and, of course, special environment that we believe needs to be sustained and strengthened for decades to come. And so Bayou Community Foundation works through our grants program, through supporting nonprofits, and through promoting philanthropy to really strengthen that coastal community.
When we first met here to the Baton Rouge Area Foundation about a year ago, we were obviously at a point that really was transformative for your organization. I mean, for BRAF, you know, it was after Hurricane Katrina that its sort of mission of really focusing on both the influx of new citizens here in our community, but also how it would respond to help other communities. Your community was hit very hard by Hurricane Ida.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that experience for you as a leader of this foundation.
Sure. Well, Bayou Community Foundation was actually established 10 years ago in 2012 as a response to Hurricanes Katrina, mm-hmm. Rita, Gustav, Ike, and then the Gulf oil spill in 2010, which really impacted our area. And we had no, what one of our founders calls a philanthropic bucket to accept those philanthropic gifts to support our community and our residents in need. So local founders got together to form Bayou Community Foundation in hopes of being that philanthropic bucket in good times as well as difficult times. And I tell you, that philanthropic bucket really came in handy and really got to work fast after Hurricane Ida. On August 29th, 2021, Hurricane Ida made direct landfall right in our backyard along the Lafourche and Grand Isle coastline. So it was our 200,000 plus residents who really bared the brunt of that storm, and we continue to bear the brunt in recovery. But thankfully, due to the overwhelming support and compassion of people here in our state, across the country, and really across the world, Bayou Community Foundation, through our Bayou Recovery Fund, has really been able to make an impact, investing nearly $6 million so far in relief and recovery for our communities.
Which was incredible how quickly you were able to stand that up and then, again, to your point, get resources out in the community for the immediate recovery. Any sort of highlights and stories back from that time about just the pandemonium that is really in response to a crisis like that?
Yes, yes. First, let me say, we thought in 2020 that COVID was our real emergency to address with the recovery fund, and we did make tremendous investments to help nonprofits serve our residents then. But what we were to learn August 29, 2021, is that COVID was really our warm-up to the disaster that would really directly impact our area. Leading those first few days, well, I remember very clearly Friday, August 27th, and that was the day, if anyone recalls, when the meteorologists were confident that this was going to be Southeast Louisiana storm. And the models continued to project it making landfall right in Lafourche and Terrebonne and Grand Isle's area. I got on the phone that day with the terrific Baton Rouge Area Foundation affiliates in Lake Charles, the Community Foundation of Southwest Louisiana, because our friends there had just gone through this a year before from Hurricane Laura and Hurricane Delta. Sarah Judson was so extremely helpful, helping me prepare in those 2 days as I was packing my house and planning to evacuate to North Louisiana. She was ticking off for me all the things that I would need to take care of right before and right after the storm. And we are so grateful for the help of Community Foundation of Southwest Louisiana for that. And then along with the shock of watching what my community was about to experience and then what it did experience within hours after on August 29th, I received just a wonderful call from the folks at Baton Rouge Air, because at the time, you know, we were so worried about our community and wanting to help and knowing we needed to help quickly, and to have the support of BRAF, who said, we are here. Anything you need us to do, staff, fundraising, helping just move funds, we're here to help. And that has just proven immeasurable for us. And we are delighted for the partnership and the help that you all provided.
Oh, well, I mean, we are too. I mean, it, you know, oftentimes not being directly on the coast like you are, our friends over in Southwest Louisiana, takes all of us. And I think, you know, what really strikes me after events like that is how then our communities and kind of the mission of our organizations begins to change. Again, for BRAF after Hurricane Katrina, that's really when you began to see our large-scale civic projects begin to emerge, because we realized that leading in that recovery, being a partner to both government, nonprofits, and other businesses, community foundations could really be the glue. And right. You have stepped up in a huge way, particularly responding to the housing crisis that is still ongoing in your community. Talk right. to us about how now that you're past the initial kind of response, but into the long-term recovery, how is this defining what your organization does?
Yes, absolutely. You know, right after the storm, it was estimated that over 120,000 homes had been impacted in our area, whether that was small repairs or complete destruction. And so Bayou Community Foundation conducted a needs assessment for recovery very quickly in November of 2021. And the number one critical need was housing. And so we got to work immediately to use some of the funds that we had raised and we continue to raise to address that housing crisis. And I tell you, it has been most rewarding effort, and I think we've been able to make some huge impact thanks to the tremendous support of our donors. And just to mention, we have a rebuilding effort going on right now in Dulac, which is in Southern Terrebonne Parish. Thanks to the partnership of many donors, as well as the volunteer hands and hammers from Mennonite Disaster Storm Aid, we've completed the construction of 8 homes and are working on 16 more homes that will be built between now and May. The success of that program, in addition, we've repaired over 300 homes in Dulac. So that's almost 350 families that are or will be back home in that hard-hit Bayou community, thanks to the partnership of our donors and volunteers. With the success of that program, we have then moved on to Grand Isle with our Rebuild Grand Isle program. We have volunteer groups on the island now. We are constructing 3 new homes currently on the island and have 40 homes in queue right now, vetted and approved for repairs. And now we are excited to announce that just this week we are launching Rebuild South Lafourche. And we have a volunteer group, a CARE Amish group that is working in South Lafourche right now in Galliano. And we are developing that application process and already have a first few homes that are undergoing repairs. So the need is definitely there. I mean, a year and a half after the storm, if you drive down any of the bayou communities along LA1 in South Lafourche and the 5 different bayous in Terrebonne Parish and, of course, on Grand Isle, you will see that the devastation, particularly for the most vulnerable residents of our community, still exists. The need is there, and Bayou Community Foundation will continue to make giving these people a home again in our bayou communities a priority.
When I came down and visited earlier or late last year, I think the headline of the paper was that there were still 10,000, maybe more, that were unhoused, not able to live in their homes or living in temporary structures, trailers. Why is it taking so long to address this need there, and let alone for our friends over in Southwest Louisiana?
Right. I don't want to speak to the government. I know that they have a role to play, and they have a process that they are following. I I can say that on our behalf, we have seen the power of philanthropy in really making a difference and making an impact as quickly as possible. I think philanthropic dollars fueling volunteer nonprofit efforts are really getting the job done. And the fact that we have 8 houses that were completed in Dulac less than a year after the storm and 16 houses under construction now, while other government programs are still in the application phase, is a tremendous testament to the power of philanthropy.
It seems to me maybe the government partners should call the local community foundation and put those dollars to work.
You said that.
Well, I mean, but again, I mean, you know, this is the whole point of a community foundation is that it's not just leading with our kind of traditional plans, which I want to talk to you about some of your annual giving plans, but it's being there in those moments and being able to turn a dime to respond to what your community needs. And you all have stepped up in a tremendous way. I mean, you know, 400 some odd planned houses or already completed houses on the way for, like you said, hundreds of families. That's tremendous.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. And we are fueled by our donors. I can't tell you how much we are grateful for trusting us and noticing us. I think I would say that one of the most valuable aspects of Bayou Community Foundation in the storm has been the fact that we existed and people who wanted to help our region, who, you know, we didn't perhaps get the headlines on the national news, but we were the spot of landfall. And I am so grateful that Bayou Community Foundation, that philanthropic bucket, existed so donors could find us.
Absolutely.
And have a vehicle to use to invest in our recovery. And we're continuing to promote that because we know that recovery is not something you finish in a year or 2 years, that it's going to be multi-year, as I know all of our neighbors saw in Katrina and Rita and continue to see in Southwest Louisiana for Laura and Delta.
Well, it makes this then partnership of all of our community foundations across South Louisiana so important because unfortunately we know there will be another storm and we've got to continue to make sure we haven't forgotten about the last ones in getting people back to recovery and then thinking about what's the long term look like. Speaking of that, I mean, in this, have you all had conversations about, you know, what is needed in terms of resiliency and sort of making sure that when we build new houses and, you know, begin to think about the future, that we're doing everything we can to try to protect our residents against what are likely to be more storms in the future?
Right. I can tell you this, the homes that are being built by Storm Aid in Dulac as well as in Grand Isle and then in South Lafourche are built to be 160 mile per hour wind resistant with their roofs and their windows. They are built far exceeding flood elevation limits. So in Dulac, they're anywhere from 10 to 14 feet high, which I have to admit the our Amish volunteers are not used to seeing when they're building in other parts of the country. So it's really great. I know that our government, our parish governments as well, are following enhanced regulations and building codes. But as far as community as a whole, sustainability, we're excited that Bayou Community Foundation continues to be able to provide our Hallmark Grants program every year to expand the capacity of local nonprofits. And just this week, we opened our 2023 competitive nonprofit grants program. And over the years, for the past 10 years, we've awarded just under $2 million in grants to 242 nonprofits in our area. We're hoping to offer probably up to another $300,000 this year. And the grant application closes on March 1st. And it's a two-phase process, so we'll after that March 1st deadline, we'll pick a smaller group to invite to a larger application phase, and then the grants are announced in July. So we're really excited. As I said, this has always been the hallmark, apart from recovery and relief, this has been the hallmark of BCF's work.
What shape do these grants typically take? What are the different sort of initiatives or projects you're funding through these nonprofits?
Sure. We fund education, workforce development, coastal concerns, coastal awareness, and then human services, which encompasses a very large degree of programs, everything from at-risk youth, you know, after-school programs, mental health, which we find is just continues to be a high priority in our area, as well as probably throughout the state and nation. Elderly services, homeless shelters, of course, food banks and food insecurity, and shelter for women and children who are perhaps in abusive situations. The list goes on and on, and really it's just applying nonprofits just must demonstrate the critical need of their program. Since the storm, of course, we've seen just an increased level of all need.
You talked about building the sort of philanthropic bucket and making sure that's there in your community. How have you begun to sort of reach out to new philanthropists and encourage really philanthropy among all different types and walks of life? Any sort of nuggets there, insights you can share with us? That's been one of our new priorities, is really to grow the number of philanthropists, help everyone see that, you know, whether you have the ability to open a donor fund or you want to give to a specific campaign or a specific initiative, everyone can be a philanthropist. And I think it's our job to promote that. But where have you seen some success, especially now following the storm recovery?
Right. Well, obviously, the storm recovery was a very profound way to appeal to donors. I was most touched. We received donations from all over the country, from just men and women like you and I. And one of the most touching was a donation we received right after the storm from a gentleman in Alaska who sent a little note with his donation explaining that he used to work offshore out of Fouchon maybe 20 years ago. But this community just stayed in his heart. And when he saw the devastation, he had to help. So I think those personal stories and personal relationships definitely make an impact. Our slogan at Bayou Community Foundation is giving makes great things happen. And I think we have seen that regardless of the donor level. We also tell people that by making one gift to BCF, you're helping many, because we take your gift and then can make strategic donations, whether it's through our Bayou Community Foundation Annual Grants Program or other programs. We can strategically invest in nonprofits that are making the most impact in your community. So if a donor is not comfortable making those decisions, if they are made aware of nonprofits across our community throughout the year and have a hard time deciding which might be the best place for their gift investment, they can give to BCF and let us do that hard work, and we will then show them where their money is going and that it's making the best impact.
And an incredible track record you've got of that. And you're such a great advocate for the Bayou region. What are some of the things that give you the most joy and pride about the Bayou?
Oh, we have always said it's our ability to pick ourselves up by our bootstraps and get to work. I think we have seen that after every tragedy, is that our people just help each other and they get to work. They don't wait. They don't wait for help, even if they need it. They just get to work helping each other. Time and time again, right after the storm, BRAF staff came with me on trips down the bayou, and I think we were all just amazed that neighbors who had lost everything themselves were working the food lines to feed their other neighbors who had as well lost everything. We are a very compassionate, generous people. You know, I was questioned a few months ago by researchers out of D.C. who were doing a study on migration out of coastal areas, vulnerable coastal areas. And they asked me a few questions, and I was telling them about our housing programs, and they said, but wait a minute. If you're building houses for people, what about the ones who want to leave? Like, how are you helping the ones that want to leave? And I said, no, you don't understand. Your theory is completely wrong. Yep. Our people want to stay. That's why we are building houses. And that is true. I mean, even though we are threatened by subsidence and land loss and rising sea levels, our communities give so much to this country and this state. And our people, this is their home. And they have lived here as families for generations. And I think it would take a tremendous pressure for them to want to leave. They want to stay, and Bayou Community Foundation is doing what we can to keep those families intact and keep them along our bayous.
Well, and to your point, this country stops if the people along the bayou, if people in Southwest Louisiana go away.
Yes.
This country does not run. And, you know, I think there's this balance. First of all, you know, they started this after Katrina, well, started it long before that, but after Katrina, the same thing of why do we rebuild? And, you know, we don't go into their communities and say that. I think it's how do we learn to adapt and how do we use the best information we have to build back in a way that's stronger, smarter. But
right.
To say that these people should leave their homes automatically seems incredibly short-sighted and insensitive.
Yes, exactly. And I think one trip down to see what our communities look like and feel like might convince anybody who doesn't understand.
When you're not thinking, which I know it, you know, in many ways, it really is the defining, you know, card for you right now, and how we continue to recover and find ourselves in a stronger place. What are the other kind of priorities? You mentioned some of them in kind of the grant making program, but what do you think of the next 5 to 10 years? What are some of those key priorities that it will be essential to see that region thrive?
In the next 10 years, Bayou Community Foundation really hopes to expand our own capacity. We have just begun to offer donor advised funds and endowment and other options for donors so they can invest in Bayou Community Foundation for the long term and help our community in that respect. And in the nonprofit area, we also continue to provide programming that helps our nonprofits grow their own capacity. We, every year for the past, I think, 5 years, we've hosted a annual nonprofit conference and workshops, and we hope to increase the programming we offer to nonprofits for them to network as well as learn from each other and provide important programs and services and ideas and best practices to improve. We are also realizing that our needs have changed. I mean, of course, we had needs, recovery needs, and our communities are evolving. Food insecurity remains a very high need. I mentioned mental health before. So I think Bayou Community Foundation also expects to conduct a new community needs assessment later this year. And that may define future grants programs, and our focus may turn, for instance, even more focused on food insecurity and homelessness and other needs that we are seeing exacerbated by the storm and the pandemic and all the other things that have happened recently.
Well, I certainly know under your leadership, with your passion, you're going to continue to be a force. The community is lucky to have you, and I know you feel the same about being part of that community, and we're honored by this partnership we have together.
Yes, yes, thank you. I am honored and so delighted to be friends and colleagues and partners with you all.
Jennifer, if people want to learn more about the Bayou Community Foundation and want to get involved in helping in both the recovery and longer-term projects, where can they find out more information about
you? Yes, they can go to our website, which is bayoucf.org, bayoucf.org, and you'll find information about us there. We are also on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. And feel free to call me or email me. You can reach me at Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D-J, at BayouCF.org. By phone, 985-790-1150. I don't mind sharing that because I love talking with people about BCF and answering any questions you have. And I invite anyone who has ever had any connection with our precious coastal area of Lafourche, Terrebonne, and Grand Isle to find out about us, contact us, and get involved. We'd love to have your support.
And take a trip down the bayou.
Yes.
That's one of the best drives there is in the state.
Yes, yes, absolutely, particularly in the spring and the fall.
Well, thank you so much, Jennifer, for joining us on this episode of The Pod. As she said, for more information on the Bayou Community Foundation and their critical work, please visit bayoucf.org to learn more. As always, thank you for listening in. I'm your host, Chris Meyer, and our mission is to elevate the stories, people, and ideas making South Louisiana a better place.
Yes.
Till next time. To learn more about the Baton Rouge Area Foundation, please visit our website at braf.org and become a member today.